First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia EPL podcast, and we're going to reflect on two game weeks which were not great for Ipswich Town on the pitch because they lost both of their games against Brighton and Man City, and you know, we've covered that in all its glory. Well, not glory, but you know what I mean. But yeah, I'm here with Alex Jones as standard, my co-host for this series, my friend, come in. Last time we did this, we looked back at a lot of game weeks. This time it's only two. Obviously, we had the Bristol Rovers game, which doesn't count, but we've had two Premier League fixtures since then. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Since we last recorded, well, I was ill when we last recorded, and then I got pneumonia, so that was fun. Missed a midweek game, sat in bed feeling very ill, watching Ipswich put in quite a lacklustre display against Brighton. Got myself up and going again. Thought, yes, good to be back. I've got to make sure I'm back for the Man City game. It's important to be at the Man City game. Probably should have stayed in bed, to be perfectly honest, given how that one went. But, yeah, 8 goals in a week. Unfortunately, none of them for Ipswich. I mean, it's technically a little bit more, isn't it? If you say 8 days, how many would that be? 11, 3, 4? Can we count the league game? Fortunately not for FPL, but... yeah, good to look back on the last couple of game weeks as a whole, just not from an Ipswich Town perspective. So sorry to those who've gone big on Ipswich assets as well, because that can't have been a good couple of game weeks for you. And I know there have been a couple of guys who've really tried to push having 3 Town players in their team. So interested to see how everyone's got on, including Mick as well. Don't forget Mick, yeah. Bottom of the table somewhere, how he's handled the last few game weeks.
Definitely. And yeah, I went somewhat big for the Brighton game in terms of Ipswich players, because I actually had 2 players in my squad. Now, Jacob Greaves and Liam Delap. And yeah, let's go and look at game week 21, AJ. And I didn't even get the average. I only got 52 points in game week 21. So very disappointing. But yeah, Jacob Greaves and Liam Delap, only 1 point. Mitoma was on my bench because, you know what? I went, he's not done much recently and he won't do anything against Ipswich Town. But of course,
getting
he goes on
pocketed.
And scores. Yeah, but he obviously goes and scores. And I think, yeah, he got a clean sheet and obviously got a bonus. And obviously he did also do well against Man United, didn't he? Because he's gone again and got an assist. But I took him out of my team because, I don't know, yeah, we'll get on to our changes from game week 22 shortly. But yeah, game week 21 wasn't great for me. Just having a little look who did okay. Palmer got me 10. Izak got me 16. Wood got me 9. Salah captained him, got me 4. So
always good to have Wood.
Yes, very true. Especially for game week 22. But yeah, not a good game week for me, my friend. How was yours?
Game week 21 was. I was trying to think of a renaissance, like a Dunaissance, obviously from. With our former Town friend who's now moved on to Chesterfield, but couldn't quite figure one out. With my name, unfortunately, doesn't quite work, does it? But this is my comeback a little bit. 76 points. Very happy with this. Blank from Raya and Castagna and Colwill, unfortunately. Hall picking up 6 points was good. Blank from Mbeumo, but blank from Salah as well, who I captained. That was frustrating. Points hauls, however, Morgan Rogers finally paying off. It happens most of the time when I have him in my team, he blanks. But when he's on my bench, he goes and racks up 15 on points. So good to actually be on him and get the points this time. Cole Palmer for 10 was good. The big one for me that week, Amad Diallo. I've persevered with him because quite a few people took him out. And then he just went and scored the most out-of-nowhere hat-trick against Southampton. I think it was about 15 minutes from the 80th until kind of like deep into stoppage time. So thank you, Amad. You really saved me there. I brought Chris Wood in for this game week. I toyed with the idea of a wild card, but it was put in our chat to say, don't play your wild card during the January transfer window. And it dawned on me then, I was thinking, oh, actually, you know what? That's good advice. I'm going to wait a little bit. So I was quite happy that I did. I know not everyone did. So, I'm happy that I had Ahmad in there. I had Chris Wood back, finally. He was the player that I brought in, and he scored in that game. I can't remember whether it would have been Liverpool, I think, was that one. So scored in that, and then got 16 off Isak, which was wonderful. A bit annoyed that I had Jackson on the bench for four, but overall, good week, 76 points. Really lifted me up the table after, as has been well documented on this podcast, bit of a stinker in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I have used my wild card, and I'll go through that in a sec. Biggest points was 148, and just having a little look, someone used the bench boost. So this is just the game as a whole. 148 points, so that is mad.
And Ahmad on the bench with that
as
well.
Yes, so got very lucky. Very indeed. And also
Dubrovnik's a place.
Yeah, that's where I've been on holiday recently.
I was going to say, not Dubrovnik, Dubravka.
Yeah, the Newcastle keeper, he got him 10 points on his
VAR's
bench.
VAR's not giving you that one, mate.
No, definitely not. But yeah, Captain Isak for 32. Alex Iwobi got 15 points. Watkins, Wood, Foden got 15. We'll get onto him shortly. I'm sure loads of people got points for him. And good defence as well. So 148 points from that guy, whoever did it that week. Let's go on to game week 22 then, AJ, the one that just gone. I'm sure people who had Man City assets were having good fun. But obviously, me, I have no Man City assets because they haven't been that great in recent weeks and months. But they turned up against Ipswich, didn't they? Scored six goals. I think Foden got a lot of points. I think someone I saw had Foden in their team, I think, got him a lot. I think someone actually triple-captained him for some reason. I think actually that's the highest points.
The highest, yeah.
57?
For 57. Ooh. So what would that be in normal terms? 19 points.
Okay.
If you look at it in standard after getting 15 against Brentford. So Foden is an interesting one. I just fear that, especially with City have a tough run of games coming up. Chelsea home, Arsenal away, Newcastle home, Liverpool home, Tottenham away, Forest away. That is about as tough a run as you're going to get in the Premier League. I'm not quite on the idea of kind of jumping on lots of City assets at this point, which is difficult, but also, I mean, it's partially the fixtures as well. Pep Roulette is still a thing, and he is the kind of person to change things and switch things up. They're signing a lot of players this month, which I think shows that they're confident that they're going to not have their 115 charges punished. So we'll wait and see what happens with that, but you've got to factor in, even when you've got someone like Erling Haaland there, you could easily look at and say, actually, you know what? I think he's going to get a good points haul. They're now signing another striker, I think 70, 75 odd million to bring in Omar Mamouche from Frankfurt. So you're thinking, could his minutes be reduced? Others for Foden, the defenders as well. They've signed plenty of defenders. So, a bit of a concern there. But if you get it right, as people have with Foden and other City assets over the weekend, it shows the kind of returns you can get. And the fact that a lot of people don't have them now means that they've almost become kind of differentials.
Yeah, very much so. But didn't have any Man City assets in my team. I didn't actually have any Town players in my starting 11 either for game week 22. I had Liam Delap on my bench. And Jacob Greaves, I've got rid of him. He didn't even play against City, so it didn't really matter. But I'm backing Delap. He's going to be my main Ipswich asset for the rest of the season. And I may chuck in another Town player at some stage. I did use my wildcard, AJ, which I was umming and ahhing about it, but I think after I had a terrible, I wouldn't say it's a bad game week 21, but 52 points and the average was 55. I just wasn't happy with some assets. So I just thought, I'm going to get rid of some. And I've got 64 points this week, which isn't too bad. Let's go through it quickly. Chris Wood, 24 points, captain him, happy days. And my defence did well, although I've got Kirkes of the Bournemouth man on my bench. He got me 7 points there, so I was fuming. I should have started him instead of Anthony Gordon or Cole Palmer. All of us were hoping Cole Palmer was going to do something against Wolves. Obviously, Chelsea got the win that we needed, but Cole Palmer didn't do anything. Got me 2 points. I brought back in the Fulham man that I somewhat struggle to say.
Anthony
Robinson?
Yes, there you go. You just have to say it really painfully slowly every time.
Yes. Yeah, but you got me 8 beautiful points. I know you've got a Fulham asset, haven't you? You got Castagna. So
I think I do. And it's annoying me a little bit because Robinson's the better player and Robinson is the one who's going to get more points. He's more expensive, and Castagna is very attacking. At the end of the day, they're going to get the same clean sheet points, but the amount of times that even that you have a point or two difference when it comes to Castagna and Robinson, it's just getting on my nerves a little bit now, and I don't want to make that change. It seems unnecessary, but I'm a little bit annoyed at myself that I have not gone with Robinson in my team because he's just performing so well and he's getting the points for it.
Yeah, and yeah, I thought I had him in early the season, then I got rid of him because I think it was more the name, which wasn't that hard to say, really. But I got rid of him, but he's back now. I'm going to stick with him pretty much for the rest of the season. And I wanted a Fulham asset, and I think he's the go-to for Fulham. I've also got a Crystal Palace asset in Daniel Nunez. That's how you say it.
Munoz.
Munoz.
There's no E at the end of that, I don't think.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
M-U-N-O-Z.
Munoz.
Yeah, I'll give you Munoz.
Yeah.
You know what? Not quite, but VAR will accept that one. The adjudication panel will just about let that slide.
I need players who are good, but also need to know how to pronounce them. But I like him as an asset, so he got me 6 points on his debut for me.
And Palace are better.
Yes,
as well. They've really improved and defensively look a lot more solid. So. Although then again, they have lost a defender in Chalobah. I know they kept that clean sheet against West Ham, but bit of an interesting switch there with Chalobah getting recalled by Chelsea.
But yeah, I like him. He did a kind of good Christmas period. He got 11 points against Newcastle, got 7 points against Man City, he got 6 points against us. And overall, he's had a decent season. So he's in my team. And yeah, Kirk has got me 7 points on my bench, which was annoyed. And Bournemouth, there could be a team, AJ. We may have to look at bringing assets in because they've got... We'll talk about that shortly. The rest of my team, my midfield had an absolute shambles. Palmer 2, Salah 3, Gordon 2. I've also swapped Elanga and Morgan Gibbs-White. So I brought Elanga in for Gibbs-White. Gibbs-White was doing well. And then Elanga, I was kept seeing, was getting some good goals, got an assist. And I thought, I'm going to switch him out. And Elanga didn't do anything. I think Gibbs-White got that assist for Forest in their win against Southampton, so I was like, God's sake. And I've also brought in maybe a controversial pick because I can't really pronounce his name, but he also is a Spurs player, and that is Kulusevski. Close enough?
Oh, I don't know. I might have to get the lines out for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kulusevski.
That's the one. DJ Ann. He got me 9 points, and they lost against Everton. So, and I, when we're watching the Everton Tottenham game in the media room, I completely forgot I had in my team. So I didn't
that
think
was such
anything
a good goal. Were you in the press lounge for that goal? That was
no.
The little dink. Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. Yeah. Lovely hit.
But I didn't realise he was in my team until I looked after, I think it was not until yesterday when I looked. Went, oh, yeah. They lost 3-2 against Everton, but he got 9 points. So, yeah. What did he get 9 points? He got a goal. He got a bonus too. Was that just because of the goal? Basically, do you reckon?
Yeah, probably. I'd say so. I don't know. Didn't get an assist, did he? So, yeah, I'd say that's probably
not bad. And then, yeah, Isak, disappointing. They had, who did they play? Southampton, no. Who did they play?
Bournemouth. Yeah.
And that was a surprise result, wasn't it? That was a very surprise result. And that sort of segues a little bit on Bournemouth. We'll talk about our changes, but Bournemouth, they're a team where I think a lot of people may use their assets because obviously they've got, Clivert, Semenyo, I know a lot of people have used. I've used him in the past as well, and they've got other, good assets. Although they've got a lot of injuries, though, so it's an interesting team. But AJ, I got 64 points. How much did you get, my friend?
Got 51. So it's kind of been
just above the average.
Yeah. I don't think it's one step forward, two steps back, but probably two steps forward, one step back. It took me up the table, so that's all right. Blank from Raya. He's annoying me a little bit, but he's one of those goalkeepers where the points will come eventually. I'm happy to just kind of leave him be for now, at least until I start planning my second wild card. The back line has been so bad for me in recent weeks, and this was one of the good weeks, finally. 4 points from Hall, 4 points from Aina, 6 points from Castagna. Midfield, like yours, was pretty bad. I had blanks literally across the board on my 5, and Bruno 2, Ahmad 2, Palmer 2, Rogers 1, Salah 3. Not great. Isak, another disappointing blank. And then the big one from me, Chris Wood, captained to the tune of 24 points. Did you captain Chris Wood as well?
Yes, I did, yeah.
You did. So there you go. So 24 points there. 3 realistic captaincy picks there in terms of Salah. Palmer, I think, would have been a popular one given where Wolves are, and Wood. And thankfully, we both got it right this time, because it's not easy to get it right. 24 points is a good return. General rule of thumb, always back against Southampton.
Yeah, very much so, because they're dreadful. I'd be interested if anybody's got any Southampton assets. I doubt it.
I had one for a few months. I had Taylor Harwood Bellis for a while because he was cheap. But in terms of their attacking numbers, defensively, they're more solid, they're more competitive in games, but there's no one in that entire squad. The closest you get would be someone like Tyler Dibbling, and he's going to be out for probably the best part of a month and a half now. So, yeah, there's no one really that you can look in that team and say that'd be a really good asset to have, even as a differential, even on the bench, just because they've lost their last five games. They've won one game all season. 50% of their points are coming from Everton, which I think is quite funny. Yeah, bizarre season. Just I can't quite even piece together about how and why they are as bad as they are, to be honest.
Well, Russell Martin and co. But obviously, they haven't got them anymore. But obviously, that'll be a big game week. You know, 1st of February, just before deadline day as well. Be interesting if people chuck in itch, you know, players for that game week. And that'll be a big talking point. So, AJ, shall we have a look at the leaderboard quickly? Because I'm still amazed that I'm in front of you. This is ringing the klaxon again. Roscoe is above AJ for one more week until probably next week, where he's going to just demolish me and he'll go above me.
It probably won't happen until I play my wild card.
True.
I'm confident it will happen. I'm confident I can get back to where I feel I belong, somewhere in the top 50, ideally. But I can't quite do it with this current crop of players. I don't think. I feel a bit Ange Postecoglou here. I feel like I'm doing everything I can, but unless I have some serious help in the transfer window, it's not going to happen. So I feel like you're safe for now, but I'm coming.
I know you are, my friend. So I use my wild card maybe too early, but I just don't know. I had that moment where I just feel like I want to use it, and I've used it. So I don't regret it, but I always think maybe I should have waited. But I think the players I brought in, I don't think none of them will get sold to other clubs, that I assume. So we shall see. But 91st on the table for me, which I'm in the top 100, which is very nice indeed. AJ, you are 107th, but you've gone up as well. I think you were above me for a brief moment after the game week 21 because of Ahmed Diallo scoring the hat trick. But since this game week, I've just got those points. I think it's very tight though between me and you. I think it's 9 points, isn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. 9 points between us. So. Yeah, it's slim margins, not really a lot on my bench. That's another thing that I do kind of want to address soon in my team. I do need to kind of deal with a bit of squad depth shenanigans stuff. I mean, one thing quickly to touch on, Dara O'Shea is an interesting one. He got -1 on Saturday for me because he got booked and also conceded 6 goals. Of course, he didn't even get booked. Oh, yikes, that's brutal. I'll quickly use this to segue onto a little section here because we've kind of, I think, forgotten about this a bit, which is understandable. There are new Ipswich assets in here.
Of course.
Obviously, with our rules, you have to have an Ipswich asset in your team. You don't have to follow this, but come on, be fair. Have your Ipswich assets in there. So mine is Dara O'Shea at the moment, but you can change things up. If you want a midfielder, Jaden Philogene is in the game. Now, Jaden Philogene has hardly kicked a ball in the first half of the season, only a handful of appearances. I think he's only started twice. So his value has gone down to 5.3. Now, if you think he's going to get a good return, that's good value. That's cheaper than Jack Clark, for example, cheaper than Sammy Smodics as well. So 5.3, I think, is decent. 0.0% ownership. So probably only a few hundred people that have got Jaden Philogene in their team. So if he starts returning, that there's always that side to it there. Another player, Ben Godfrey, back in FPL. They've actually had to add him in. It's not been a change, pardon me. It's been actually bringing back into the game, and he's been brought in as a £4 million defender on loan from Atalanta. Again, obviously, because he's only just joined 0.0. Wouldn't really be rushing to bring him in, definitely before Liverpool, if you're looking at kind of Ipswich defenders. But yeah, again, I like what he offers going forward. There were some really nice runs that he made in that City game. Yeah, a tough game for him, but he's linking up quite well and pushing on. So again, if you want that kind of asset, you think he could potentially not just have the clean sheets, but the odd assist here and there, that could be an interesting one as well. So yeah, two new assets in there. Definitely Jaden Philogene, an interesting one, and be interesting. Wow, really using that word today. To see what other players we have coming in, others potentially going out. No, Ali Alhamadi. Again, probably not a popular FPL pick, I'm going to be honest. But those of you who might have Ali just lying on your bench, kind of collecting dust a little bit, might want to take him out since it looks like he's probably going to head to West Brom on loan. So, yeah, one's a few to keep an eye out on there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, made two new signings, but yeah, hopefully we'll bring some
and more
in
to come, fingers crossed.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Shall we actually, before we look at the rest of the leaderboard, AJ, shall we take a look at maybe our potential changes for game week 23? Deadline this week is Saturday, 1:30, so that feels weird. We'll be maybe, you know, we can, in the car, my friend, we can go through up to Liverpool. We can go, oh, I might do this change. I might do that change. But what do you think at early doors as we record this on a Tuesday afternoon?
No bloody clue. Absolutely no idea. This is really hard because, again, I'm trying to hold out with the wild card. It's there. I'm not enamoured by my team and I'd quite like to make some changes, but I don't want to kind of rush into it. Yeah, the one thing I would look at definitely would be, I know he blanked last week and was disappointing, but that Isak captaincy is calling my name because of what I said before, always back against Southampton. And just thinking about what he could do in terms of damage at St Mary's, I think he's the obvious one. In terms of the actual changes, it's quite hard. The Bournemouth thing is interesting, and they're a team that I'm quite keen on. They're performing really well. I do wonder about how sustainable it is. You look at some of the stats behind Kluivert, for example, and he's a really good player, an incredibly talented footballer, but I don't think he's going to be hitting regular hat-tricks. I don't necessarily think he's going to be in the goals quite that much. And there's others. Kirkez is a good one, but I'm happy with my midfield, and that's what makes things quite difficult. And it's just about how sustainable some of these runs are. Brian and Buomo, what is he going to be like coming into the next few weeks? There's still, not necessarily with him, but with Brentford, there's lots of transfer talk. Jan Visser's been subject to a bid from Forest, for example, today. You're thinking, if he goes, does that change the balance? So for me, I think it's just about riding out this little period more than anything in January, just because I have no clue what's going to happen. Teams can get pretty desperate. Who knows? Maybe even someone like Mbeumo could be subject to a £60 million bid from Man United or something like that. And all of a sudden, all of your plans change. So I'm being quite careful. I'm definitely not going to use the wild card this week. I've got one transfer. I'm not going to go above the transfer. I might even leave it as it is and bank it. So I'm going to play it safe, I think, is the way to do it. And it's just about dealing with maybe one or two little short-term issues. I went quite big on Chelsea quite early, bringing in Jackson, who's been really good up until when I brought him in. And then Colwell as well was a cheaper option, but he's picked up a knock and hasn't really, you know, Chelsea's clean sheets haven't been there. So those could be the two that one of those could come out. But I'm not really itching to make too many changes. What about you, Ross?
Not really. I don't think I'm going to make too many changes. Do you know what? This is controversial, but Cole Palmer, I don't know. I just don't know if he's worth the price he is. I know he does have a lot of good returns, but I don't know. He's got Man City next, Chelsea. Gets his former club, obviously. But I'm just going to have a quick look at how he's got on in recent weeks. So, obviously, he had against Bournemouth and Palace, he got 10 points. Only got two against us. 10 points against Fulham. 3 points against Everton and Brentford. Obviously, 18 points against Spurs. 7 against Southampton. 14 against Villa. So, he's had some good periods over the festive period, but obviously 25 against Brighton on game week 6. But I don't know, is he worth?
He's one of those that will punish you if you don't have him, isn't he? Like, you know that everyone's going to happen. Everyone's going to have him. Most people are going to have him in the team and leave him there. And even if he's got like a run of 3 where he's blanked, you might just kind of think, oh, you know, I'm not that keen. And then he'll have four goals out of nowhere against a random mid-table team. And that will be my concern, is that, and it's a bit like what we've had with Haaland in the past, and it's become less of an issue with Haaland because Haaland's been a bit rubbish recently. But it's one of those where you want to go away from it. You want to spread your money out a little bit, but you know if you do, that he'll punish you. And yeah, a blank against Wolves, but 20 points from Palace away and Bournemouth home, with a game at home to West Ham, a trip to Brighton, who he tore apart, I think it was earlier this season. He scored four against Brighton. Southampton at home on the horizon as well, others like that. Yeah, I personally would feel very touchy taking him out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm debating on that. And then obviously you've got Salah as well, now a big asset in my midfield. Obviously he's got talent.
Underperforming.
Yeah, so maybe he's more the one you look at potentially, and maybe bring in another Liverpool asset instead. Because, yeah, obviously Liverpool top league, but I've only got one Liverpool player. But it's interesting which players you want in. So, you know, Darwin, good old Darwin. Heathie's old friend. He scored two, didn't he, last time out. But then Liverpool got a really good run of fixtures, haven't they? Obviously, they've got the two game weeks coming up, my friend. We'll talk about that next week. But obviously, you got Bournemouth-Everton. Obviously, the Merseyside derby getting the rearranged game after getting postponed. That'll be a big sort of game week for Liverpool assets. So I may look at... I'll probably keep Salah in, obviously. Sadly, for it. I won't captain him later. I won't triple captain him against Town, but I will keep him in my team. But you know what? I'm swaying, potentially. Maybe Cole Palmer could be coming out of my team, which I may ruin, but...
I've got a question for you, then. So you've got Isak in your team, and you've got Salah in your team. Isak against Southampton, but that's away. And Salah home to Ipswich. Where are you going to go with your captaincy pick?
Interesting. I think I'll go Isak, I think, because Southampton are rubbish. I think I know he didn't score against Bournemouth. Obviously, Bournemouth just blew away Newcastle, didn't they? So, but I think he'll do okay against Southampton at St Mary's. He'll at least get a goal. So I'll back him. And, you know, Town will keep Salah quiet. So that will be...
I think with the captaincy one as well, like, people are going to be very split. I think it will almost be like a 50-50 split with the captaincy this weekend. And I think part of the thinking that I've got is we'll talk about this later in the week, I think Ipswich are going to go up to Anfield and they're going to try and have the same approach as they did, bless you, against Arsenal at the Emirates. I think it is going to be 10 men behind the ball, sit deep, frustrate, try and hit on the counter, probably not do it overly successful, probably lose 1-0. I don't think it's going to be one of those games where you're going to see them run riot. And I think that having conceded 6 to City, I think Kieran McKenna is going to get them in and make sure that they don't have another one like that this weekend, given that that was the reaction to the Newcastle defeat, wasn't it? It was tighten up against Arsenal, make sure that you're more solid. So that's how I see that going. Whereas Southampton, it's just not them. It wasn't them under Russell Martin, of course, but it's not them under Ivan Juric either. So I think that given the way that Newcastle exploited a Town team that were too open and how Isak is a hat-trick in that game, I just think that it's a recipe for disaster for Southampton. That one, especially given that Newcastle are going to be hungry to win this game after being embarrassed on home soil last weekend.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to back the Swede up top. And yeah, hopefully Salah. He can score against Ipswich if he wants, and then Ipswich get a goal and it'll be a nice draw. But it's going to be a tough one. And we'll obviously look ahead to that game later in the week on the main flagship show. But yeah, I can imagine a lot of people probably are going to trip and cap on Salah against Ipswich because that's what they did for Haaland, didn't they? Stuart Watson. Let's talk then, AJ. Let's quickly look at the fixtures coming up and then we'll look at the leaderboard as it is, who are top of the Cowway League. And we've got to have a little word with who's top of the table because I've just gone through his team. And once again, you don't have to, but it's nice to do the rule, have an Ipswich player in. And he doesn't have an Ipswich player in the team, Ryan.
Oh, no.
So, boo you. But this week, my friend, so Saturday, no lunchtime kickoff. So it's straight into the free PM kickoffs, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. So obviously Ipswich is one of them, with Liverpool and obviously Southampton, Newcastle, Wolves, Arsenal.
There's a really tasty one in there. and it's on the south coast, Bournemouth Forest.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Forest are an interesting one where they're doing incredibly well. I don't think Forest are great to watch, but I think this is the kind of game that will bring the best out of Forest. I mean, I remember, just going back a while, I remember when these two teams were in the Championship and they had a win to be promoted game right at the end of the Championship season. Bournemouth won that, went up on the day. That was brilliant, open end-to-end game. I think Kiefer Moore scored in that game to help Bournemouth get promoted. So I have good memories of Bournemouth Forest game has been great to watch. That was a great advert for the Championship. And it's a little bit weird to think that this is a team, I mean, where are they? Forest third in the league, Bournemouth seventh. Thought they'd be higher, to be honest, Bournemouth, given the run of form that they're on, but only 3 points off a Champions League place at the moment, which is ridiculous. Playing so well, entertaining. These are two sides punching well above their weight. Think that's probably going to be the game of the 3 o'clocks. In terms of the other ones, I mean, from an Ipswich perspective, looking out at the Wolves game, in terms of FPL, Newcastle assets are going to be quite big, with them being away at Southampton, as mentioned. Yeah, and then I'll just touch on the half five there as well. Man City, Chelsea. Are Man City back? I'm not totally certain yet, but I do think they'll beat Chelsea. Should we quickly run through the Sunday games as well?
This is a 7 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday. We had this the other week, didn't we?
Yeah, that should be illegal. That should be banned.
It's May not going to Fulham, so whatever.
Oh my God, that's so rough. Oh. I mean, at least it's local for most of the Man United fans. But ouch! Yeah,
come at us, Man United fans.
Yeah, come on, all the many Man United fans listening to this one. Yeah, a bit of a strange one this because the actual team, the game in the Super Sunday slot is Villa West Ham. Oddly. Mm. Yeah, Tottenham, Leicester, Leicester City, Dr. Tottenham, we'll see you now. Will Dr. Tottenham be able to prescribe any more 3 points for opponents? Is Ange going to be under any more pressure? Again, I don't think there's going to be that many people with Spurs assets at the moment, even though they're the second top scorers in the league. Yeah. That's mental. Palace-Brentford games always seem fun and then always, I feel, are quite boring, which is kind of sad. Fulham, again, against Man United, one of those where I'm still not sold on Fulham, and I don't know why I'm not sold on Fulham. Somehow, again, they've been really good for all of the season, and them being in 10th just feels pretty underwhelming, to be honest. They are a good team, and Man United are pretty dreadful at the moment. So, again, an interesting one for assets like Anthony Robinson there as well. So, yeah, not like a load of big standout games. If you had to pick one, I don't know if you'd agree with this, both from an entertainment value kind of aspect and from an FPL aspect, I think it has to be Bournemouth Forest for me.
Yeah, very much so. And I've got a lot of Forest Bournemouth assets as well. So exactly, I hope they all balance out well. I hope they Wood gets a goal, Kirkez gets an assist.
A nice 3-3 draw.
Yeah, just something like that. Obviously, I've got Ina as well. Hopefully, he can't get a clean sheet, but I know he can score as well. So loads of goals, as you said. So hopefully, or do I just bench one of them? Do I just sacrifice a player?
That's risky.
Kirkez, I could just keep him on my bench, but obviously this week I left him up because I have obviously two Newcastle assets, and obviously I should have gone the other way around because obviously Newcastle got battered. So one to think about going into the deadline, which obviously, as we said, half one on Saturday. Ugh. So you've got a lot of time to prepare, but don't forget about it when you're getting ready for match day. Let's take a look then, AJ, at the leaderboard as a whole. Ryan Connor is still leading the way. Well done, my friend.
Only got 44.
Really bad game week. Yeah, because he didn't have any Ipswich assets, although it didn't really matter because...
he would have done so much better if he'd had Dara O'Shea in. There you go, Ryan. Yeah. Add that basically minus one in.
Yeah, but he decided to captain Salah, who obviously got 6 points. Wood, Chris 12 Wood. Points. Yeah.
Robinson,
yeah.
Someone's got it. Really. I feel bad saying this to Brian, but come on, 44 points and he's still top. Someone's got to knock him off the perch there a little bit.
Yeah. Jack Plum did okay. He got 61. So,
it's a low weakness, isn't it?
Yeah. He got AF Foden in his team, 19. That was the most points in his week. Wood also 16. Let's take a look. Anybody else got big points? Geek 2. Mateta. Could be an interesting asset.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, look at his bench, though. Deary me. Kirk has seven. Munoz, whatever his name is, 6 points.
Allison, nine. Ouch.
Oh, that's a bad. But he has got Trent, though. He got him 11 points. I had Trent in my team briefly, then I got rid of him because he had a stinker, didn't he, against United. And I got him out, and he obviously got 11 points this week.
Oh, I feel bad seeing gone down a little bit and seen Charlie Stevenson there. Feel a little bit sorry for him. 25 points on his bench. He's got Mignot for 6 and Robinson for 8. That's gotta hurt there. We've got seemingly, as you pointed out, do we have some brothers at the top of the top end of the KOA league? So where was the first one? We have Gianluca Pagano in 26. So I don't really want to say that and say the name of the team and then have this with an expletive rating on it on Spotify, but yeah, with his team he's got 67 points. That was a good week. And Gianluca, what we can only assume, his brother Alessandro, if you're listening, we'd love to know if you are just two brothers who are very good at FPL. Alessandro in 38th with Hellas Golano, fair enough. Yeah, only got 31 this week, but still two brothers in the top 40, we think. Yes. So yeah, does this run in the family? Are you related? Is it just a coincidence? We would love to know. Please tell us if you're listening.
Please do. Chris Bird got 75 points. Just what I wanted to wake me up before you, Luongo. Love that. Mateta again, 13 points. Yeah.
Tom Hughes with Morsi and McKenna's men also got 75 there. Ooh. And Clover and his team.
Fair play. How much did he get? He got 22. So what have you done if you got him captain, like triple captain? How much would you get? Would that be like 40, 50 points? I'm mad like
I don't know. You just wouldn't do it, would you? You just wouldn't triple captain Kluivert. So, my maths isn't good enough to quite handle that on the spot.
I've actually had a good week, though. 64, that's not bad, actually. It's not, you know, it's not one of the top scores, but...
Well, it's towards the upper end in terms of that, to be fair. I mean, it's not bad. No real high ones. I haven't seen higher than 75.
If you are listening and you got more than 75, let us know. Someone got 73. Yeah. Burns notice. But he had Haaland and his team, Kluivert as well. He had Bedirek from Southampton in his team.
Oh, he got a goal, points. Yeah. Wow, that is...
Expecting there.
That is... Fair enough.
74.
About having no Southampton assets, eh?
And there we go. I bet he was shouting at us earlier. Went, I've got one, actually. And he got me loads of points for once, even though they still lost. But yeah, if you've got more than 75, please let us know. We are scrolling down, but I've got to 200. Oh, 81. 209 here. Jack Saunders, Suffolk and good. 81 points. Very good. He got minus one for Leif Davis. So... Yeah.
In the starting lineup.
Yeah, he's starting lineup, yeah. So he could have got 82 points. Alexander Arnold, Foden, Watkins. He got Delap in his starting lineup as well. So how's it?
That's good.
It's really good. And Wood got on 24, the captaincy. Henderson in goal. Yeah. He's got Smith Rowe on his bench with 11 points and Kirkes on his point. So he could have got even more. So yeah, Kirkes in for Davis.
Into 100, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have done. Unlucky, mate. But well played, Jack. That brings you up the leaderboard a little bit. 81. I think that is the most I can see. But yeah, anybody got more than 81, let us know. Stu and Heathie are doing rubbish. So we're going to talk about though. Although I think Heathie had an okay week. And I think Stu actually had an okay week as well, which, you know, not bad.
Well, Stu said to me at the game on Sunday that he forgot to do his team again. So yeah, not exactly sure. How that's going, but I'm sure we'll get an update from him.
Yeah, he got 35 points, so... Ouch. Yeah, wasn't good. Virgil,
should we have a look at Mick? Points. I've got Mick's team up, if we want to have a look.
Go on.
So, of the 1,103 teams in here, Mick is 1,099th. He got 38 points, so Mick got more points than Stu. That's because he had Chalabar on his team and captain Chris Wood. So, fair enough. Chalabar obviously scored on his return to Chelsea. Chris Wood got 24 for the captaincy pick. Other than that, Cresswell 1, Mings 1, Bree 1, Hutchinson 2, Hurst 1. Everyone else blanked. Still got Sarmiento in the team and Freddie Ladapo and Tawanda Chirewa, who's now back at Wolves, isn't he? So who knows? Maybe he could get some points He's still listed as loan to Derby County on air, but is back at Wolves for the time being. Everyone else blanking in his team, unfortunately, Mick. But I appreciate the passion to your craft.
Very much so. Very much so. And yeah, well done, everybody, in game week 22. Best of luck for game week 23. Hope you've enjoyed another KOA FPL pod. AJ, any other business, my friend?
No other business. Again, I'm just really excited for Bournemouth Nottingham Forest. That sounds good fun. Let's just hope that, yeah, the game week doesn't get ruined by whatever Town do up on Merseyside. I'm sure it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It will be fine. It will be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Say that one more time. But yeah, we'll bring you obviously a flagship show to preview that. But I hope you've enjoyed, as I said, another FPL pod. Well done. Everyone taking part. And yeah, we've got over 1,000 people joining our league, which is great. And it's still not too late to join, although you would be bottom and it won't get anywhere near the top size. But yeah, it's been good fun. I'm pleased I've done well for this whole journey. I'm still doing okay. Normally at this stage, as I normally say, I've forgot about it and I'm not even bothering. But 91st on the table, above AJ for one more week. Until next week, I have a feeling AJ's going to be above me. So we'll take it and we'll bring it on. So thanks again for listening. Bye for now.